Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy on KFI is provided by DSL Extreme at dslextreme.com. Hi, this is Leo, and this is my KFI podcast. This show originally aired on Saturday, October 14th, 2006, on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles. This is show 291.
October 14th, 2006.
KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. At 11:06, I'm Deborah Mark, KFI News.
Thank you, Deborah. Server's on, clock is on, camera's on, chat room is rolling. Let's get going. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. Time to talk high tech as we do every Saturday and Sunday on this fabulous radio station, the number one station in all of the Southland. Let me give you the phone number, 1-800-520-1KFI, 1-800-520-1534. What do we talk about? Anything having to do with computers, of course, and that means Windows, Mac, and Linux, but also the internet. Also, online music and movies and TV, MP3 players, cell phones. Sure, cell phones, very popular subject. Camcorders, digital cameras, love talking about that. Even home theater. If it's got tech in it, I will talk about it with you. 1-800-520-1KFI. I'm a little tired. I've been kind of in going through server HE double hockey sticks today and last night. And if you're going to the show notes page, forget it. It's down right now and will be down throughout the show. I'm sorry to say. I do hope to have it up again by tomorrow, and we'll have the show notes from today's show in there tomorrow. But for right now, Leo.am is down, as are, unfortunately, the podcast feeds, because they come out through Leo.am. Had a hard drive crash on one of my servers last night. Actually, yesterday morning, come to think of it. It's been 24 hours now. When you run a website, you know, there's a couple of different ways you can run a website. Most people will go to a hosting company like PowWeb or DreamHost and get one of those $5 shared servers. $5 a month, very inexpensive. It's fine for low traffic. You and maybe 100 or more other websites all share one computer. The way the web works, maybe I should even take a step back, the way the web works is that there is a website is just a series of files, some text, some images, sometimes audio and video, sometimes flash, just a series of files stored on a computer somewhere. That computer is called a server because it serves that data up, just like a waiter would serve up a dinner that serves that data up to anybody who asks for it. Now, you can run a web server out of your house if you don't expect a lot of traffic, because even if you have a high-speed internet connection, it's how fast your connection is uploading that counts, right? Because that data is coming out of you up onto the internet. And most internet service providers give you an asymmetric connection. Big fat pipe down and a very skinny little narrow pipe up. Because, you know, the normal person who's not serving a website is doing more downloading than uploading. But when you become a web host, when you have a website, you've kind of flipped the equation on its ear because now you're the person serving the data. So most people, when they have a website, they go to a serving company. The serving company has lots of data pipes, lots of upstream capacity, lots of computers and special racks with air cooling and redundant power supplies, generators sometimes, often in a big network operations center. When you go to someone who's $5 a month, you're probably going to somebody who is actually a customer of an even bigger company that offers them server space that they can resell. They're often a reseller. And for years, I ran my website through resellers, people who actually didn't own the equipment but leased or rented the equipment from a bigger company and then split it up into 100 different little pieces and sold it out to people. And for a long time, I did that. But as my sites got bigger and bigger and more people came there, and as my level of expertise increased, I thought, well, I need something more. I need my own hardware, my own dedicated server. Now, a couple of ways you can do this. One is you can lease equipment that the server company provides you with. Another is what's called a colo or co-location, where you buy the equipment. It's your equipment. And you put it in their rack. And you have the right to visit it. It's like it's in prison. You have the right to come see it. And if there's an upgrade or, you know, you need new hardware, you do it. You bring in the chip, the hard drive, whatever. I don't want a colo. In fact, my server company's in Texas. Well, my ex-server company is in Texas. That's where this all begins. And so I've never seen it. I've never even seen the computer that's serving my websites. There are actually three of them, three big dual Xeon servers with 2 gigabytes of RAM, and you buy the upstream connection. It's 100 megabits. So your downstream connection on a cable modem might be, say, 4 or 5 megabits. Your upstream is maybe 128 kilobits or 256 kilobits. We're talking 100 megabits upstream. And you need that because if 10,000 people come to your site all at once, you need to have a lot of bandwidth. Sometimes you even need more. But after looking at my traffic on the various sites for several years, it looked like 100 megabits was enough. Well, a hard drive died on this server way down in Texas on Friday, and it's been just a nightmare getting it back up. In fact, it's still not back up. All sorts of problems. They replaced the hard drive 12 hours later, but now there are other issues, and I can't get into the server. And so, needless to say, I'm canceling my account with that company and moving to another company. But meanwhile, in that process, everything's down. Why, you may ask, do I do this all myself? Well, this is part of the fun, I think, of being a geek, is doing it yourself and learning about it, right? That's how I learn about it. So when you call and ask, I can say, well, let me tell you how my experience has been. It's getting harder and harder. When I first started doing this 15 years ago, more than 15 years ago, I kind of made it my goal to try every piece of software, use every piece of hardware, and you could do that in 1990. It wasn't that much. And I felt that made me qualified to talk to you because I've tried everything. Now, I can't say I do that anymore. I can't. You can't. There's too much. There's too many different things. I try to use, you know, all the operating systems, Linux, Windows, and Mac, and a variety of different Linuxes. I try as much software as I can. I try to do as many of the tasks that you would do at home, like home networking, wireless networking, security, and all that stuff. But there's only so many hours in the day. You can't do it all. But one of the things I like doing it. One of the things that's fun to do is run your own server. It's also one of the things that can keep you up all night, which I was. So you'll forgive me if I'm a little low energy. I had a couple of shots of espresso, but this is the life of a webmaster. I was talking with Bill just a few minutes ago about Bully. It's the newest from Rockstar Games, the folks who gave us the reprehensible and yet quite enjoyable Grand Theft Auto series. Bully is a new game in which you play a picked on student at a high school, and then you get revenge on the kids who've been picking on you. You beat them up, you give them noogies. It looks like a really fun game, and what's nice is it's a change of pace. I'm going to read a review here from Ars Technica, Ben Kuchera, who actually played the game. He said, the first minutes of Bully are terrifying. You're a new kid in a new school, dumped off by your mother. This sounds familiar. We've all gone through something like this. People point and laugh, and a few people make jokes. It's cringe-inducing. I can handle violence and blood, but I've been brutally teased in school, and seeing it in a video game made me uncomfortable. Yeah, because we've all lived this, right? He says, I spent a good 2 hours playing Bully, and without giving anything away, I can tell you it's dark and funny. The fights have a sort of nasty realism to them. There's no blood, there's no deaths, but it is believable. And the, quote, moves, the fighting moves, are the sort of thing you see on schoolyards, complete with shoves, uppercuts, and Indian burns. It sounds like fun, actually. There's no killing in it. There's no blood in it. And yet, there's a lawsuit in Florida. A guy named Jack Thompson, who has been a very aggressive attacker of video games, sued in Florida, requesting an injunction against the sale of the game. On Wednesday, the judge in the court, Ronald Friedman, ordered Rockstar to produce a copy of the game for review. And so what happened was an employee of the company came in with the game, used cheat codes to move through the game quickly and show the judge a couple of hours worth of content. After seeing the game, Judge Friedman reportedly commented the footage wasn't much different from what's seen on primetime TV. He said he didn't think he'd want his kids playing it, but there was nothing to keep it from being sold to its intended mature audience. There's been a lot of talk about this game because of Columbine and school violence and so forth. And yet, I have to say, from what I've heard, and I haven't played the game, it comes out Tuesday on the 17th. It doesn't sound too reprehensible. In any event, the judge on Friday said, I'm not going to stop the game. I'm going to let it go. There's nothing too bad in it. Jack Thompson loses again. This guy has been really, he's been a pit bull in attacking these games and has tried again and again to shut them down. What do you think? I mean, this game isn't even, there's no guns even in this game. In fact, I think for some kids, this might be a catharsis to get to play the picked on kid and come back and get revenge might be kind of satisfying. Even for a few of us grown-ups, you know, as geeks, we were often picked on in school. Maybe this would be kind of a way of getting back at all these kids in a non-violent, safe environment. What do you think? Or is this teaching kids to be mean and violent and ugly? Is it a school for bullies? Or is it just a way of just a catharsis, a way of releasing the tension? What do you think? 1-800-520-1KFI is the phone number. 1-800-520-1534. Once again, the server for the website is down and will be down through this show. I'm hoping to have it up again by tomorrow. If all goes well, I've got a new host and I think they'll do a good job getting it back online. But for today, no show notes. We will keep them and put them up tomorrow. But the chat room is there if you want to go in there and get some advice, some support, or say, what did he just say? And that's available at irc.dslextreme.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
The Jesus Christ Show. There is no child that ever comes home after getting free candy and sits down and goes,
DSL.
I'm just really curious about the goods. No, they're going, I knocked on a door, I said trick or treat, and they gave me candy.
The Jesus Christ Show, tomorrow, 6 to 9. On AM 640, online and on demand. KFI, AM 640.com.
We do thank DSL Extreme for providing the bandwidth for the podcast and for the chat room. See, if I'd had the hosting there, I'd still be up. They're good people. But they do more than that. They're also, and their main business is as an internet service provider, the best. And they've been mine for years now, and I love them. And boy, are they priced affordably. DSL Extreme, high-speed internet is just $14.95 a month. If you've been putting off high-speed internet, or if you're paying more for worse service, maybe you ought to consider a call to 1-866-2-GET-NET. DSL Extreme is cheaper than AOL dial-up, almost half. And you don't have to have a second line, and the installation is a snap, and it's free. There's no setup fee. There's no charge for the modem. You get 24 hours a day free local tech support. I mean, this is good stuff, but some restrictions do apply, so you better call them now. 866-2-GET-NET. 866-2-GET-NET, or visit them online at dslextreme.com. High speed internet for the price of $14.95 a month, only from DSL Extreme. Call 866-2-GET-NET to get DSL Extreme.
When the big stories break, we're on it. KFI News, Fox News.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. Mr. Chaos Manager Jerry Pornell, the great columnist, longtime bike columnist throughout. When I was in high school, as a resident geek, I had my lumps, but I used a geek solution to the problem. I found a student named Jopley who wanted to be an FBI agent. At Christian Brothers, you had to pass Latin to get a college prep high school diploma. So Jerry made Jopley a deal. He'd pass Latin, and I wouldn't get beat up or teased or even annoyed. That's like, there was a movie that called My Bodyguard that was the idea, right? Jerry says, worked fine for a couple of years, during which time I went out for the boxing team. Never was all that good at boxing, but we were in terrific shape because of the training. So after Jopley graduated with a B in Latin, I was able to take care of myself. It's always great to hear from Jerry. He is writing his columns now online for himself, which I think is great. You know, it's an interesting trend among journalists to go it alone, to go solo. And I'm part of that trend. I love it. ChaosManorReviews.com. And you can subscribe there through PayPal. You can read his columns there. I've been reading Chaos Manor since the earliest days in Byte. He's been writing in Byte since 1979. I think that's probably when I started reading him. So that's a long time. 27 years. Is that right? Wow. And now he's doing it himself. And I'm seeing that this is the trend among journalists, to go out on your own. There's a number of them have done this. I mean, I guess it started with I.F. Stone way back when he created his own newspaper, in effect. But podcasting, blogs, the internet have made it possible for a lot of people to say, I don't need a publisher. I don't need a radio station. I don't need a TV station. I don't need a movie company. I don't need a record company. I could do it myself. And as these media mature, it's really true. It's totally viable. Jerry says he's already making a good portion of what he made writing the columns for Byte. And he's his own boss. He's doing it himself. And I get to keep reading the columns. That's the most important thing to me. Mark and Brea, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Leo. I appreciate the call, or taking the call. I have a building that sometimes gets some graffiti on it.
Ah, yes.
And so what I want to do is, I happen to be reading Fry's ad this morning, and they had this Linksys, and it said it serves itself, and it's wireless.
Right,
G,
right.
And it'll even email me.
Yep.
But the question is, once it emails me, where did it save the file so that I can,
It sends you the pictures. You can, D-Link also has this. There are a number of companies now that do these. They're essentially cameras with computers and web servers built into them. If you can plug them into the wall and plug them into Ethernet, they're basically little web servers. So if you want to see what's going on, you surf to the camera. You use your browser, and you'll see the output of the camera. In some cases, full motion. Many cases, full motion output of the camera over the internet. Now, they're a little more expensive. Of course, you have to have... Now, you said that some are Wi-Fi, so the Wi-Fi would be a little easier. You have to have a nearby Wi-Fi access point.
It is. It's on the... Actually, it turns out it's on the other side of the wall where the Linksys router is.
So that would work fine. And I've used these. We use these on the TV show. I've used them both on Call for Help in Canada and Call for Help in San Francisco. And they work great. It's kind of amazing.
So it does. So I will have the video so I can give the police the...
Well, what you'll get is an email. I don't think they'll email you the video. I think they email you stills.
Right, but somewhere the video will be saved then.
The stills will be saved as it emails them to you, absolutely. The video, most of them do not have storage, per se. So it would have to stream it out to you. You'd have to be capturing it on your local computer.
Okay, which I'm sure is possible.
Oh, totally possible, yeah.
And so do you prefer a Linksys over a D-Link over... I mean, I've seen even in Sam's Club, they have things like these Swan makes some kind of thing.
Yeah, the only ones I've tried are the D-Links. They work very well. I'm sure Linksys would be fine, too. It's really a simple thing.
Can I ask one more video question?
If you hold on, because I got to take a break for news. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI. We'll get back to you in just a second. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 11:29. Deborah Marks in the KFI News Center.
John and Ken, Saturdays starting at 3. Now you get 20% more John and Ken in every bite. John and Ken, Saturdays starting at 3.
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI is the phone number. We were talking to Mark and Brea. Question number two, Mark. Sorry to put you on hold like that.
Yeah, okay. As per your orders, I got the Fuji E900.
How do you like it?
There was a rebate. I got the telephoto lens and the wide-angle lens.
Dude, you rock.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
So, but now, the reason I did this was to avoid having to pay for printed pictures. And so I'm wondering what's a good program, if there is one, so that I can index all these photos. So I can say, give me all of my son's pictures for Christmas.
Right.
Between this, and I'm willing, you know, I have to, of course, put in all the work to say what's what.
Yeah, you have
but
to tag
it. What's a good program
it.
For that?
People use tags to do that. There's a free one and there's a paid one. The free one I recommend is from Google. It's called Picasa, PICASA.com. Has some really nice features. I would start with that and just see if that'll do the job for you. If not, the more advanced one is Photoshop Album from Adobe, which you probably would want to get Photoshop Elements with it. And that way you get more elaborate editing. But you still get some editing in Picasa, and Picasa is completely free. So I would start by looking at Picasa, see if it'll do the organizational stuff you want it to do. I think it will. I mean, it's got very good tagging and so forth. And if you need more, then Photoshop Album.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's one of the reasons my wife doesn't like digital photography. She wants prints. Now, I point out to her that those prints end up in a shoebox in the closet and with the eternal promise, oh, yeah, I'm going to do an album with those any day now. We're going to do photo albums. And, you know, that goes on and on. Eventually, maybe you do some. She's just now doing the baby book for my 12-year-old son. So, you know, maybe it'll all happen someday. But I think, frankly, if you put them on a computer, at least you know where they are. They're not deteriorating. And if you, as you put them in, at least you've got the date with them. I use iPhoto on the Mac, and I just put them in folders as I get them. So, you know, you go on a vacation, you have a vacation folder. And you can always find them either by date or find them that way. And most of these programs, certainly iPhoto, have smart folders that you can say, you know, all the pictures I took between this date and this date. So there's a lot of organizational features. I think certainly more capable than the cardboard shoebox. Just my guess. Don't tell my wife I said that. Richard Fullerton, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Richard.
Hello. Yes. Occasionally when I start up my computer, I get a notice saying... the instruction, 0x...
I don't need the number.
Well, okay, it says reference at memory location
x0. Yeah. Those things are completely worthless, by the way. That's the computer reassuring itself that it knows what's going on, which it does not. So does it blue screen on you, or does it just give you a notice and keep on going?
No, I just click OK, and it goes on fine.
Okay, so that's some program barfing. The problem is... the error message is completely non-communicative. By the time a computer figures out that there's an error, it's, you know, it's much, much later, and it gives you whatever it thinks went wrong, and often it's useless. It's certainly useless to anybody but the guy who wrote the program. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I've tried going into the debug, and I can't understand anything.
No, there's nothing you can do about it. All you could do is try to figure out what program's barfing and why. And, you know... you probably can't even figure out why, but you could either eliminate the program or replace it with a more up-to-date version. But it's hard even to figure that out. When your computer starts up, it's starting up process after process after process. There may be dozens, maybe even hundreds of processes being started up. So it's kind of hard to tell where the error is. There is a feature that you can turn on if you tap the F8 key when you're booting up, and you'll get the boot up menu. And what you want to do is turn on the boot log or the logged boot. And what it does is it makes a text file in your C directory, in your root directory, that is essentially a log of everything that happens during the startup. So it'll say starting video driver started, starting a print driver started. And what you'll do is after the boot, you'll scan through that to see if you can figure out which driver caused the error through the error.
Get an update for it? Or?
Well, then you have to decide what to do about it. If it's a critical driver, if it's your video driver, yeah, I would look for an update. If it's some program you installed that you don't really need, I'd uninstall the program. It's hard to even say what the impact of this error message is. It probably means that something is not starting up. We know it's not your video driver because you see the screen. We know it's not a crucial driver because everything works okay, right?
Right.
Yeah. It could even be, and this is where when you see these kinds of startup, when you see any message on startup, your first question is this something I installed or is this spyware? Or some sort of adware or malware. So frequently these programs are badly written and throw errors. So what it could be is some spyware starting up and throwing an error. And then, of course, you continue on. And in fact, your computer operates fine. In fact, it operates better than if the spyware had started up. The fact that you don't notice anything wrong with the computer at all makes me think maybe this is something either unnecessary or worse, something like adware. So it's hard to, it's really hard to figure out.
I've gone through several spyware, you know, debugging.
If you're pretty sure there's, you're pretty sure there's no spyware. The other thing you can do is there's a tool, which is a very useful tool, called the Microsoft System Configuration Utility. You'll find it by, probably easiest way to start it is to click the start button, hit the run command and type msconfig, one word, msconfig, and then hit enter. This will launch the program, the System Configuration Utility, and you'll see tabs in there, including a startup tab, and you could see in here all the things that start up. And another tedious but possible way to find this error is to uncheck these one by one, reboot, and see if you don't get the error anymore. You might want to just look at what's in there anyway and remove things that you don't really, you know, need or want. A lot of this stuff is completely useless. You know, I mean, the Acrobat Reader magical startup utility or the QuickTime magical startup, these things just essentially put ads in your system tray. You know, you don't need them. So, not in a modern computer. Computers are so fast now. The hard drives are so fast. There's no point in this kind of preloading the software.
Could I ask you one other thing?
Certainly.
Okay. You mentioned once before, and I didn't get it down. What is the music provider that really doesn't foul you up with a lot of restrictions?
Right. There's a couple. There's eMusic, which I like, and there's Magnatune, both of which I've mentioned in the past.
And what was the other one?
eMusic, E-M-U-S-I-C. They work with any MP3 player. They have no DRM. The songs are inexpensive. But what they don't have is Britney Spears and Fergie and all the latest hits, right?
Oh, I couldn't care less.
Yeah, me neither. They have Ray Charles. They have good groups, good music. The problem is that the record labels won't let them, you know, won't sign up with them saying, hey, you know, you got to have copy. They will not put out a record on the big hits that doesn't have copy protection.
Good.
We don't want them anyway. You know, this is really, I think this is going to be the death knell of copy protection when alternatives like Magnatune, Magnatune.com, and eMusic, as these companies start offering uncopy protected music that's good music, consumers prefer it. Everybody would like this instead. Pretty soon, I'm hoping, you won't be able to sell copy-protected music, and that'll be the end of it. I never thought this would happen, but I've started talking to a lot of people, and the consensus seems to be, we think copy protection is going to die. This happened in the software industry. In the early days of the software industry, everything was copy-protected, and it proved so onerous on honest people. It proved such a problem. There were so many tech support calls. The companies finally gave up and said, I'll pirate this stuff. It's not worth it. And I think that the record companies and the movie companies, I pray that they will come to the same conclusion. It's just not worth it. It's punishing honest users like you and me, Richard. And it's not slowing down pirates. They know how to crack this stuff. So Magnatune, I want everybody to go to Magnatune, to go to eMusic, patronize these guys, send a message to the record companies. We're not going to buy your, crippled music, basically.
You know, I've been using the Windows Media Player for downloading talk information, like from Science Friday.
Uh-huh.
And they've got some new program, Urge or something like that, that they demand,
Urge.
You know, you follow all these rules, what the hell with them?
Yep, Microsoft's among the worst offenders. In fact, get this, Microsoft's putting out this new player, Zune. It doesn't even support Microsoft's own copy protection. They've created a separate kind of copy protection. It is so out of control that consumers, I think, are finally just going to say, oh, the heck with this. This is not worth the Suris. We're not going to buy this stuff. Or we're going to steal it. And that's what I fear. You know, really what's happening is you're training a whole generation of people on how to pirate, how to steal, how to crack copy protection. Nobody wants it. So you're getting a complete and utter unintended consequence, which is you are training people to become thieves. The more you hold on to this, the more you get the opposite of what you really want. It's just not going to work. Magnatune and eMusic. James, San Diego, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Well, just hold on a second then. Believe it or not, I'm looking at the clock and I got to take a break, but I will come back and you will be talking to me again in a minute. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. It's 1148.
Yeah.
No hairspray, no makeup, no teleprompter. Real KFI News.
KFI, AM 640.
All righty. KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Talking high tech till 2 in the Dr. Dean Show. 1-800-520-1KFI. James in San Diego, you're very patient. I'm sorry to pick you up and put you right back on hold, but now you're on. Welcome to KFI.
Great. Can you hear me, Leo?
I hear you.
Super. I just built a website that's been up and running about 2 weeks, and I've noticed that on a lot of successful websites, you see these graphic ads by big companies like Yahoo, LA Times, New York Times, Netflix, so forth and so on. How do you get these people to advertise on your specific website? That's question number one. Question number two, can I get a free plug for my website?
Yeah, what's your website?
It's called aplacetowrite.com.
Is it for writers?
Yeah, it's for people who can write anything, short stories,
poems. What a neat idea.
Yeah, they come in. I turn their work into a virtual book, and other people can come in and buy it for like $1.50. They download it and read it, and they get all the profits.
Here's a deal on advertising.
Okay.
What did you use to make this site, just out of curiosity?
I used Yahoo Site Builder.
Okay. Because on Firefox, the layout is not working. Maybe, you know why? I probably have the text bigger than,
Yeah.
So what you want to do is, that's a flaw in Yahoo Site Builder. A good design will allow you to scale the text.
Right.
And when you scale the text, it gets all mushed up here. So let me scale
it. Yeah, the index page has been screwed up, and I keep trying to fix it, and I talk to Yahoo, and they always tell me that it's not their fault.
Yeah, you don't have much control when you use something like that. So let me talk about ads, though, because it's a legitimate question.
Okay.
Some sites have their own sales force. The big sites like CNET, they have a whole team of people selling those ads. Some sites go with virtual ad agencies. The easiest way for a site like yours, I would recommend, is Google AdSense. Now, Yahoo does something similar, too. And since you're already on Yahoo, it might be easier just to go to Yahoo. But the idea is you sign up with them. They'll give you a little bit of code that you place on your site.
Right.
And they scan your site for its contents and try to put ads there. And this is the key to the success. Try to put ads there that match your content. So you'd have ads for writers, workshops, software, self-publishers, that kind of thing.
Right.
And those ads you get paid for when people click them. And it works pretty well. It's certainly the easiest way for just kind of a small independent site to monetize. I use Google Ads. If you could go to my site, which you can't because the host has killed it. But if you could go to my site, you'd see there's a little Google ad at the top. It's very unobtrusive. You can make them more obtrusive. They have graphic ones as well as text ones. I like the text ones because they're less intrusive. But the idea, the most important, the key idea is that these ads are keyed into what is actually on your site. So it's more palatable for your readers because they're seeing ads of things they're interested in. And it's more successful for you because, they're buying those things.
Well, how about these big ticket ads? Like I said,
LA some of them
Times.
Will be. Some of them will be big ticket ads.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because concomitant with this AdSense, Google has something called AdWords where people buy keywords.
I've used that for about 2 weeks.
Well, then you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I am, and it's like a pay per click deal. But you know what I've noticed is that people click on because you can add a certain dollar amount per day. Like mine is like $15-$20 a day.
Right.
But I've noticed that there has to be somebody that also has a sponsored ad like I do. They just click it off real quick.
Well, and that's some of the problem. There is click fraud and so forth. Yahoo is trying to do something similar. In fact, I think everybody is because Google's AdSense AdWords play has done very well for Google. I think that's the easiest way. There are other agencies like Federated Media that you can go to that will sell. Basically, they're ad agencies that will sell big ticket banner ads. But unless you have a lot of traffic, they're not going to talk to you. In fact, Google might not even talk to you. You actually have to get Google's approval. It's really, it's not worth their time unless you start generating thousands and thousands of page views a day. So look at go to Yahoo, look at their advertising offerings. Google AdWords, great. Federated Media only is for some of the biggest blogs in the world. They're probably not going to talk to you, but there are companies like that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI. Good luck. Aplacetowrite.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 11:59. Let's head to the KFI News Center where Lisa Osborne has the latest.
October 14th, 2006.
KFI is a talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. It's 12:07. I'm Lisa Osborne, KFI News.
Wow, bang. You make my heart bang.
12:07 on KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. I'm going to keep going here this afternoon after 2. Dr. Dean Dale comes up at 2. Then it's a fresh John and Ken at 3. But I will be here answering your calls from 2 on. So write down this number, 1-800-520-1KFI, 1-800-520-1534. And keep it calling. Keep that number ringing from 2 to 4 this afternoon. We're taping ahead for a future show, so I'd love to get your calls. If it's hard to get through, and I know it is during the regular show, this is a chance to get through. It's a lot easier. 1-800-520-1KFI. Jay's in Loma Linda. Hello, Jay. Welcome to KFI.
Howdy, Leo.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, I have a question about a hard drive that I had bail out of me after a defrag.
Oh, boy. I know that feeling. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes.
Well, basically, I was playing with a boot disk and had just gotten a new hard drive to back everything up to, and for some reason decided to defrag. And
don't mess with it till you backed it up.
As you can guess.
Yeah, of course.
I ran a defrag off of this boot disk, and everything just kind of went haywire.
Oh, boy.
I ended up losing about 30 gigs and have a bunch of files with the original file names, but they're all 0 kilobytes.
Nothing in there. Well, you know what a defrag does? It moves stuff around, and if it fails, was this a Windows defrag or was it some other third-party program?
No, it actually wasn't Windows defrag. It was another program.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't remember the name of it now because it's off of some boot disk that I got that a friend of mine gave me.
Right. It could be that your disk is just trashed, that if it crashed in the middle of all this moving around, the data is in one place, the directory entries are in another. I mean, it's a tough one to recover. It could be it's hard to say what happened. It could be there's a hardware problem on the disk itself. I don't know what to say about recovering it. I like to tell people about SpinRite, which is my friend Steve Gibson's program. It's a great program for at least taking a look at your drive and seeing if there's a drive issue. Often it can kind of recover this stuff by rebuilding a little bit. But if in the middle of a defrag, if something went wrong and stuff spread out, it might be really hard to recover it. What kinds of files were they?
All kinds of files. This is actually my media backup drive.
Yeah.
So,
see, text files, you could look at the sector and say, oh, there's the text. But a binary file like an MP3 or a picture, it looks like random data because of the compression used. And it's virtually impossible to recover that. You'd have to know sector by sector in the order that they belong, what belonged to what. And there's just no way you can do that. It's just
it's
garbage.
What's really interesting about it is that some of my MP3s actually have like 3 MP3s under one file. So I'll have a KFI Tech Guy, and then I'll have AC/DC,
right,
and then maybe some
that's
Mozart.
That's commensurate with it being in the middle of whatever it was doing. It's as if it took your disc and tossed it in the air like a salad. And you caught it in the middle of the tossing. I just don't know of any way to recover it once that process has happened. No unerase program was going to help you. I think you're screwed. I just can't think of anything that you could do to recover that. I mean, it just sounds like a mess. Jake and Fullerton, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Jake.
How you doing, Mr. Leo?
Good.
Mac curious. Figure out.
Yes, once you go Mac.
That's what I've been told.
You never
That's
go back. Yep.
What I'm switching, but what I'm trying to figure out between is either the 13-inch 2 gigahertz MacBook or a Mac Mini?
Well, I have both, and they're really for different purposes. So you're a Windows guy. You've never used a Mac before.
Just like an Apple IIe back in like fourth grade.
Okay, it's very different than a 2.
Yeah.
And you, I hear kids in the background. So is a family computer?
This will actually mainly be mine. My wife wants me to get my own laptop so I can stop monopolizing hers.
I don't blame her.
A mini is
portable, but it's not portable in the same way a laptop is, because it still needs a screen and a keyboard and a mouse. So you could schlep those
I've
around.
I've got the cool screen and I've got the cool keyboard and I've got the cool mouse.
Well, a mini is very affordable, and I think the minis are fine. I think they're very good. They've started putting they will soon start. And I have to remember what I know and what I don't know. I think they're going to start putting the Merom chips in the mini. They're Merom compatible, which is the Core 2 Duos.
And yeah.
That'll be a heck of a... let me just real quickly see if they've done that yet or not. It's imminent if they haven't. And if they haven't, then I would say it would probably be worth waiting. Let me see what they're putting in the mini these days. No, it's just a regular Core Duo. So they haven't yet put the Core 2, but those things are Core 2 ready. Now, here's what you give up on a mini. It's actually very much like the MacBook. The MacBook has the Core Duo as well, and I think they're going to go to Core 2 on those as well. What you give up on both the MacBook and the Mini is the high-end video. It's motherboard video. Really, the Mini is essentially the same thing as the laptop in a different form factor. So it just depends on which form factor you like. You'd certainly save money on a Mini. The top-of-the-line Mini is only $800.
Right.
And that's what I bought. One thing I would do with the Mini, and I did with my own Mini, is I bought a stackable external drive. It looks just like the Mini. It goes right underneath it.
Yeah, the LaCie?
I can't remember if I bought the LaCie. There's several different manufacturers. I bought it from MacSales.com.
Okay.
And I use, because it's a faster drive, you know, the drives they use in the Mini are laptop drives. They're 5,400
right.
RPM drives. So I bought a 7,200 RPM external drive, and I make that the boot drive. And the internal drive is a backup only. And that sped up the system quite a bit. So I like the Mini. I think to save money, a Mini is a good choice. If you want a laptop, I have a MacBook. And I've been very happy with that also. Now, I have to tell you, there have been major problems with the MacBooks. Apple's had a terrible QC issue with them. The white ones discolor. I've seen a lot of them discolored, and it's horrible looking. Apple's quietly replacing them, by the way, for people who have them. You can bring it in, and Apple will, without any noise, will quietly replace that for you. There have been shutdown issues, which I think are related to thermal issues. There have been other issues as well. But having said that, my MacBook has been flawless. I got it the day it came out, and it's been flawless ever since. So, you know, there's some percentage of them they're having problems with. Whether those problems have gone away, I don't know. It's certainly a cause for concern. I know a number of people have gone through 3 or 4 MacBooks trying to get one that works.
Okay.
So if you buy it, I'd buy it from the Apple store near you.
Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, because I'm looking for like video editing, got the digital camcorder, and my wife finally wants to do something with it.
It's great for that. Really, it's just a question of, how much, you'll save money on the Mini, and it's a desktop. So you're not going to go anywhere with it.
Right.
I got the Mini for the family. That's the home computer that the kids use. And, of course, I got the laptop for me because I travel. And I can't very well pack the Mini into my bag.
And a monitor.
And a keyboard. And a mouse. otherwise, they're functionally pretty much the same computer.
Okay.
So either one would be fine. I think you'd be happy with either one.
Great. Thank
you,
sir.
It's kind of a budget thing. And you may want to wait and see. I think you'll be waiting till January. That's when Macworld Expo is. I would almost be willing to bet money that come Macworld Expo, Apple will announce they're putting the Core 2 processor in both the MacBooks and the Minis. Now, I'll tell you one thing I like about the Mini. That's going to be a good media machine in the long run. You may end up putting that next to your TV. Your high-def TV, it's got DVI out, and using it, I wouldn't be surprised, a lot of people might do this, as a media machine. It's got the great front row software. You attach something like the Elgato iTV to it, and you can get HDTV in there. You attach it to the internet, you can download shows from the Apple Store and other places. That's a nice media, believe it or not, it's a small, compact, and I think very nice media system. hard to choose one or the other. Just really more depends on what you're looking for in you know, portable versus desktop. Price is also the issue. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 1216.
Stimulate yourself all weekend long. KFI, AM 640. More stimulating weekends.
KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI. That's that phone number to call. And keep those calls coming in because I'm going to keep taking them from 2 to 4 this afternoon. Sean in Arcadia, KFI. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. My Norton antivirus is expiring, and someone told me I could get a router instead of that.
No, router is not an antivirus. There's three different ways of protecting yourself, and you need all three, really, on a Windows system. One is a firewall. That's what the router does. It blocks incoming traffic that you didn't request, so that keeps a hacker from kind of trying to, you know, probe your system to find the weaknesses. Norton is an antivirus, which scans your system periodically, will also scan your incoming email in some cases, looking for viruses. You probably should have also a third kind of protection, anti-spyware, which watches for ad-serving programs and spyware programs and keeps those off. They're like antiviruses. There kind of is some overlap, but they tend to be somewhat different than antiviruses. You really should have all three. If Norton expires, I don't recommend Norton, by the way. I think it's over fat. It's got too many features. It's bloated. It slows your system down a lot. Same with McAfee, the big competition. Both those programs, I think, are less effective and, frankly, bloated. We have a sponsor, ESET, that I actually became a sponsor because I was such a supporter of theirs. They have an antivirus called Mod32 that's very effective and very lightweight. I'd recommend that. It's the same price, maybe a little less than Norton. But it's just an antivirus. Do you not have a router? Do you not have anything protecting you on the network?
No, I don't.
It's not a bad idea. Routers are cheap. What happens? You could put a software firewall on your system, too. What happens is every once in a while, like three times this week, hackers come up with a hole in Windows or a hole in Internet Explorer that they're able to exploit. That means that without, even though you have a patched system, even though you have an antivirus on there, if you're just sitting there on the net, they can ping your system and say, send it a special kind of packet and get into your system. Or you could go to a website and you get a special kind of packet and get into your system. So those things are really the risk that you run without a firewall. Firewalls are kind of like one-way valves. Incoming traffic that you didn't ask for, they just drop it. They don't say anything. They don't do anything. They just don't. They ignore it. And so that's very useful. You can run software firewalls. They have an added benefit because they also examine outbound traffic. But I find that they end up being more annoying, and they slow your system down also. They can cause compatibility issues. So I generally think a software firewall is not as good as a router, which does much of the same thing and more silently. Good news is a router is cheap, you know, $40 or $50 for a Linksys router. Cable or DSL?
I am DSL.
The other advantage of a router for DSL users is it has the dialer built into it, so you can get rid of the often flaky software that your DSL company imposes on you, the dialer. You know how you have to connect when you get online? You won't have to do that anymore. The router does that. You enter your DSL login and password into the router. The router makes what's called the PPPoE connection for you. You never see it. And I think that if you're a DSL customer, a router is a great idea. And most people get routers because they have more than one computer using the same internet connection. But there are other benefits, including this firewalling and an automatic dialing. Bob in Riverside, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, hi, Leo.
Hey.
I got a non-computer question for you.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the market for a handheld GPS system.
There are many good choices, yeah. Do you have a PDA?
No.
Okay.
No.
We
do a lot of riding out in the desert and what have you, and I want something that's user-friendly, you know, that's easy to operate. It's not going to cost me an arm and a leg. I don't need a color screen.
Right.
I just want the basics, how to get me there and get me back.
So do you want a map or not?
It doesn't matter either way.
See, there are two different kinds of handheld GPSs. One where they just say, you know, it's almost a compass. They'll give you your longitude and latitude, then you would match it to a map. And then there are others more expensive that actually give you a map. Now, if you're off-road, a map is not so useful.
Yeah, right? It's going to be primarily for off-road use.
Okay, then I don't think it matters. I like the Garmin Rhinos. They're inexpensive. They get the job done, R-I-N-O. In fact, the eTrex is good. Garmin makes a lot of good handheld GPS devices. The eTrex is very inexpensive. It's about $100. It's essentially a compass, but it'll tell you also your longitude and latitude. And so
eTrex?
E-T-R-E-X. $100.
Okay.
Very inexpensive.
What about Magellan?
Magellan's also good. Garmin and Magellan are the two big boys. And, either one. I like Magellan a little bit better for the turn-by-turn stuff you get in the car. That's just a personal choice. I mean, that's really a very personal choice. But
like
I think I want
user-friendly. I want it easy because I'm computer illiterate when it comes to, easier the better.
Most of these you don't even need a computer because if you're not putting in maps, you don't even need a computer. It's It's just a compass, basically. It's a fancy compass. I would look at the Garmin if I were you. I think they've been around a long time. They're very inexpensive, and if you're not somewhere where the map's going to do you any good, you don't need to spend a lot of money. You don't need a computer. You just need, where am I? Leo LaPointe, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. 1229, Lisa Osborne is in the KFI News Center.
Live streaming 24/7, KFI AM 640.com.
.38 on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Leo LaPointe, the tech guy on KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI is the phone number. 1-800-520-1534. Keep that call coming in. Keep those calls coming in. I'll be still answering the questions after 2 this afternoon, from 2 to 4, in fact, while Dr. Dean is on and John and Ken are on. Kathy and Murrieta, KFI, Leo LaPointe, the tech guy. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Not so good, thank you.
Uh-oh, what's the matter?
Well, I've got a weird little virus in my computer.
Uh-oh.
And I'm wondering, how do I get rid of it? Can I buy, like, the Norton antivirus and put it in there while the virus is still in there and get rid of it?
Sometimes.
How do I get rid of it?
Some viruses will actually keep you from installing an antivirus. What I would do, how do you know you have a virus, first of all?
Well, I fiddled with it for a couple of days thinking it was me, and then finally when I started to reboot from the recovery disk, all of a sudden the screen went dark and a little red man very slowly appeared, and he looked like a little devil.
That doesn't sound good.
No, and I just sat there and stared at myself.
What have you got? Wow.
I don't know. He was the weirdest looking little guy, and every time I rebooted, it would take longer and longer, but he would always show up.
That's just weird. You know, nowadays, most viruses don't want you to know they're there. They're sneaky. You know, viruses used to do this, you know, because it was, ha-ha, we pulled a prank on you. But now what they want to do is take over your system without you knowing it. So this, either you have a very old virus or there's a prankster still loose.
I think it's an older virus,
yeah.
Because the people that gave it to me, they gave it to me because they couldn't get it to work.
They had the virus.
Yeah, and that was like a year ago.
You don't have the disks to reinstall the whole system, do you, by any chance?
Yeah, I tried that already.
And it came back?
Yeah.
It shouldn't come back. If you have the recovery disks, you said you have those recovery disks.
Well, it was that one that you make, you know, when you have a choice of three things, you know, install
Well, you want to do a fresh install. You want to erase the hard drive and install from scratch from that disk.
Well, according to that, I did that. Yeah.
Because that'll kill any virus that's on there.
Well, he must be a very different virus. He's got a face, and he looks really mean and everything.
I've never heard of this before.
Yeah, he's red, too, you know? He's shaped like a candle, almost.
Wow.
He's sort of straight up and down with a real mean look on his face.
How big is he?
He's about, I would say he's probably about half an inch.
So he's a little tiny guy.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Boy. Okay, so what you need to do, you need to get an old priest and a young priest, okay? And, no, I'm just kidding. Boy, you got something going on I have never experienced.
I know,
that
it's
is weird.
Too weird.
And nothing should survive a true format and reinstall unless those disks are infected. So, which
that's
is possible. Sure.
Yeah.
So, if you had a Windows install disk, another one, mm-hmm. I would suggest using that. If since you don't, here's another thing you can do. Go online.
I can't.
You can't even get online now.
He won't let me do anything. He tells me I don't have a modem.
Once the little guy comes on, you're dead, huh?
Yeah. He stops
okay.
everything.
At this point, I think what you need to do is say, this computer needs to have a fresh install of Windows on it, just completely fresh. That uh-huh. either means taking it to a computer store and having them do it, or going and buying a copy of Windows or something, and just starting all over. Because it sounds like those recovery disks are messed up. Now, the only other possibility, is there a brand name on this computer?
Actually, it's kind of a kind of
generic. Yeah, because I'm thinking the other possibility is maybe this is some... it's some diagnostic that's built into the computer. Maybe this is part of the computer, and they just thought it'd be funny if it were a little devil. But
he's really messing me up.
I can't
go online.
Well, maybe there's some. What I'm thinking is there's something wrong with the computer, and this diagnostic is what's. You don't get into Windows at all. You just see a dark screen. Windows never starts up.
Well, yeah, it does.
Oh, it does start up.
Colors. Yeah, it's missing colors. It's got something called HP Pavilion on it.
Oh, it's an HP. Okay.
Yeah, and
so you the install disks you have are ones you made. They are not ones labeled 8x HP.
They are ones that were made by the people who gave it to me.
Okay, and you don't have any HP labeled disks.
No.
All I can think of is that those people, when they made those disks, already had the virus, and it's on those disks.
Yeah.
Or it's hidden somewhere on the hard drive. Boy, I would love. Yep. I wish we could see this devil.
Oh, I was so surprised.
I want to see
I
a picture
something.
Of him. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just a mean-looking little guy, you know, with a wicked smile.
Wow.
Yeah, and I called a couple of people about it, like Best Buy.
And their reaction's like probably similar to mine, like, whoa.
They said they never heard of it.
Never heard
like
anything
that.
Like that.
Yeah. I mean, a virus that lets you know it's there. That's kind of different.
Well, it's probably pretty old. So I guess my question is... how much do you want to spend to get this thing working?
Well, not a whole lot.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's an old, beat-up computer, right? And
No. It looks pretty good, actually.
It's a pretty good computer.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, you need to find somebody who has a Windows install disk. And what you need to do is you need to install Windows on this sucker. And a clean version of Windows. That'll kill anything that's on there.
Really?
Yeah.
So I have like a Windows ME.
You have a disk, an install disk?
No, I'm just saying that's what's on the computer. Yeah. And
which many people call that operating system the work of the devil. So it's
enemy is what I call it.
My enemy is very good. I like that. From now on, that's what I'm calling it. Yeah, it was not the best version of Windows ever made.
Yeah,
there are
really
issues
weird.
Also security issues with it because Microsoft no longer supports it. So there are
wonderful.
Big holes in it, big gaping holes in it that hackers can just mark right in. And Microsoft said, no, we're not going to fix it.
Oh, well, that's nice.
That's nice of them.
No wonder they gave it to me.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's a hand-me-down. But you don't want to spend a lot of money on a hand-me-down. It's probably not a very fast computer anyway. So, I don't know what to say. What you need to do is find a friendly nerd who will, you know, one possibility is put Linux on. This would be a great candidate. This is an older machine to put Linux operating system on, which is a free operating system. It's very robust, very secure. It's kept up to date. It would run very well on that. And it would allow you to surf, do email. What kind of stuff do you want to do on that computer?
Graphics and things like that.
Oh, you want to do like Photoshop and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Well, there's a free graphics program called the GIMP on Linux. It's really quite good. Every bit as good. The GIMP. It stands for the GNU Image Manipulation Program. Yeah, I know. It's the Unix people are crazy. But
what's this Linux you were talking about? How do you spell that?
Linux. You can go to the store and get it, but you can download it for free. If you can get a friend to give you a copy, it's free.
Uh-huh.
The one I'd get is Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U, U-B-U-N-T-U, You'd put it on there. It's very similar to Windows, but it has some advantages. First of all, it's much more reliable. It will run well on that machine.
Yeah.
And it's secure. And you won't have any little red devils running around.
Isn't that weird? I think
it's very weird. And, unfortunately, the disks they gave you didn't fix the problem, which kind of baffles me.
They thought that they had cleaned it up.
Yeah, well, they obviously didn't.
No, obviously.
Yeah. I hate to tell somebody who's... do you know how to use Windows? Are you a Windows expert?
I'm not an expert, but I know what I'm doing.
You're comfortable with Windows. Yeah, see, that's the advantage. Oh, yeah. The problem is you're all of a sudden using a new operating system, and it's going to be all, I don't know how to use this. It's pretty familiar. I mean, Ubuntu looks a lot like Windows. There's a start button, and there's applications, and it's pretty much the same.
Where would I go to get this Ubuntu?
Well, you can actually, they'll send you a disk, but it's going to take, like a few weeks to get it.
That's not a problem. I've been waiting for a year to get
this. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Go to a friend's house or go to the library. Go somewhere where you can get online and go to ubuntu.com.
Okay.
And and right on the front page, they have a service that will send you a free disk.
Oh, really?
Yep, absolutely free.
And
it comes from England, I think. So it might take a couple of weeks. But
it's a whole different program then.
It's a whole operating system. It comes with all the software. It's absolutely free. It's absolutely secure.
Gosh,
I think it's a good solution for an older PC like this. Right on the front, you're going to go to Ubuntu.com and it'll say ship it free CDs. You click that and they will.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
They do that absolutely free out of the goodness of their heart because they know there are a lot of people like you stuck with old computers that aren't working, and Microsoft has already written you off saying,
if
you're going to insist on using that old hardware, I'm sorry, we just can't help you.
Oh, God.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah, it's not real nice.
Worth billions and billions of dollars, and they're going to say, you really need to upgrade. I'm sorry. You can't use that old computer anymore, Kathy. You've got to buy a new computer, and you've got to buy a new operating system. I'm sorry. So, you know what? Say the heck with you. I'm getting Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.com. Ubuntu. It sounds like something Ethiopia.
It is. Well, very good. It's an African word. It means,
really?
It means, get ready, it means humanity to others, or sometimes translated, I am what I am because of who we all are. It is a very, this is very hippie. This is very, wonderful. It's
here.
Philanthropic. It was started by a guy named Mark Shuttleworth, who made a lot of money in the .com revolution. Linux has been around for a long time. The guy who invented it gave it away. Instead, unlike Bill Gates, he said, I'm not gonna say this is mine. I'm gonna let anybody do it for free. In fact, he went even farther. He used a license called the GPL that says this is not only open source software, anybody can modify it, but anybody who uses it for something else also has to make their software that way. And he created a movement. There is a movement of people giving away their time, developing this stuff. It's great stuff.
Wow.
And it's perfect for your system.
It sounds good to me.
Yeah, because I think Windows is not going to be much help for you right now.
What is this HP Pavilion?
A Hewlett-Packard computer. It's a kind of computer. Hewlett-Packard makes it. But it's all, because it's old, no one wants to support this. No one is going to come to your aid. Microsoft, Hewlett-Packard, nobody. Only me and Mark Shuttleworth. You are, because the whole world is designed around obsolescence of computers. That thing is probably 7 years old.
You think so?
Yeah, and a seven-year-old computer is, people think. Now, it works perfectly well. There's nothing wrong with it physically. But they've just decided, no, you need to buy a new computer. Sorry that you just have to. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI. No, you don't use Linux. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
Insanely brilliant. Bill Handel, Monday morning, 5 to 9.
KFI AM 640.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. As I mentioned, the show notes are not up today. My crappy little web host, The Planet, has kicked him while I'm down. And so I'm moving over to a different web host, and those will be up. As soon as I get off the air here, we'll move everything over to the new host. And it'll take a little while for the new domains to propagate, but that should all be working certainly by tomorrow. And we'll get all the notes up there at that time. So I apologize. The chat room is alive thanks to DSL Extreme at irc.dslextreme.com. So if you're hearing something and I've mentioned something, don't worry. It isn't online now. Leo.am is down. All my podcasts are down. It's driving me crazy. But they will be up, I'm hoping, by tomorrow. I'll be working all night tonight to get everything up and running. Ah, the joys of hosting your own websites. Let me tell you, it's quite fun. I will be back in another hour, just after news, for another hour of your calls, questions, and comments at 1-800-520-1KFI. And then I'm going to keep taking calls after 2 this afternoon. We're taping ahead for some vacation time. So keep those calls coming in, 1-800-520-1KFI. I'll continue to take your calls from now through 4 this afternoon on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 12:59. Lisa Osborne's in the KFI News Center.
October 14th, 2006.
With 66 in Anaheim Hills, 70 in Newport Beach, 69 in downtown LA, 64 degrees in Burbank. KFI is a talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. It's 107. I'm Lisa Osborne, KFI News.
Thank you, Lisa. 107 KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI is the phone number. Rick in San Pedro, welcome to KFI. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Leo, I, first of all, I want to tell you, I've been using Nod 32 in my office PC for over a year, and I really love it.
Isn't it?
What I like is it's so recommendation.
Yeah, it's so lightweight is the real reason.
Yeah, that's a real bonus.
Hey, Thank you.
I'm looking at trying to pick up a plasma television. It's 50-inch. And first of all, my buddy, who is the font of all knowledge and information about
it. Wait a minute, that's my job.
Yeah, he got all this information from watching his 20-year-old 19-inch Sylvania TV. tells me that I need a line conditioner if I get a plasma television. Is that true?
That's first I've heard of it. I mean, it's certainly not a bad idea to put some decent line conditioning on there, mostly to protect it, you know, essentially a surge suppressor. And I do see that a lot now on home theater equipment because it's such expensive equipment.
Yeah.
I don't know that a plasma is any more sensitive to it than any other electronics, but yeah, I mean, you're spending enough money on this thing. It's probably a good idea.
Okay. Good. Well, the real question I had is one of the things we're looking at is that some of the plasma televisions have PC inputs and some
right.
don't.
Right.
And my buddy, the font of all knowledge and truth, is telling me that I shouldn't put a PC on a plasma.
You could. But I don't recommend it, and I'll tell you there are a couple of reasons. First of all, is it a 720p monitor or a 1080p monitor?
I think it's a 1080.
Okay. 1080p or I? Now, there's a reason. If you run your computer at 1024 by 768, that's 768 lines from top to bottom, that's higher resolution than most HDTVs. In other words, you can't run your computer at 1024 by 768. You have to run it at 800 by 600.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
It won't support the resolution. He is probably concerned, as you should be, with burn-in as well. If you do run a PC on it, you got to really make sure you turn it off. And a TV program and a movie are always moving around. Plasmas are somewhat susceptible to burn-in. If the image doesn't move around a lot, that image will live on that screen. So you really want to be careful. Whenever you put games, you know, video games or computers on a plasma, you've really got to be careful to make sure that the image is not static for too long.
Well, good.
And yeah, most of them, by the way, will absolutely support a DVI connector. Either they'll have DVI or they'll have HDMI. All the new TVs have HDMI. And you can buy a simple dongle that'll convert it to DVI. So if you have a digital out on your computer, you don't have to look for anything special.
Okay, good deal.
All right.
Thanks, Leo.
Yeah, I would be careful about burn-in. That's a... They say it's less of a problem on the new plasmas, but I am not convinced. And boy, you spend a lot of money on a new TV, and then you've got the MTV logo burned into it. That's just annoying. Don, Rancho Palos Verdes, welcome. KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi there. I have a problem. For example, I'd like to have a cell phone hooked up to my car, so if somebody steals my car, it calls me. I work on boats. If I do something wrong, I want to have something that where my cell phone can portably fit onto a float switch and call me if the boat starts sinking.
What an interesting idea. No idea how you would do that. I'm sure you can. You got me. I would normally send you the show notes or ask people to go in and comment. The show notes are down right now, but we'll have them up by tomorrow. Meanwhile, if you have a way you can have his cell phone call him automatically, it's just something you'd have to jerry-rig. You'd have to have a, you know, some sort of moisture detector hooked up to, I don't know how you would do that. I'm sure you can. It's like, and for your car, be like LoJack, right? But you want it to call you when the engine starts up. Yeah, got your soldering iron handy? Because that's what it's going to take. I don't think there's any, I don't know of anything that you just plug in. Maybe there is. Joyce in Riverside, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Hello, Joyce.
Hi, Leo. See, I've got a quick question. I have a computer at home. I'm a senior, and I've been doing computers for quite a while, and so I know kind of what I'm doing, but I've got a husband in an Alzheimer's unit, and I'm really wanting to spend more hours over there, and I'm not a good sitter, so I wanted to get a laptop.
A laptop, you bet, yeah.
And all I want to do is maybe, like, genealogy research, and then I'll send it to my home computer, so I don't need storage. But I've asked a lot of people, and we're on a limited budget, and everyone keeps giving me different answers.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're going to want to have internet access. Does the unit have...
Yeah, I'm on internet.
Where your husband is, does that have internet access?
No, I would just plug it into a regular wall socket, wouldn't I?
I mean, you'd have to have a dial-up internet service provider. Do you have a dial-up?
I have one. Okay. I'm on one now.
So I would check to make sure that they have a phone jack that you can use.
Oh, I see. So yeah. I may not be able to take a laptop over there unless there's a...
Well, you could take it over, but whether you'd be able to get online is another question.
Oh.
You might ask them, though, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, it would have to be in his room because that's where he hibernates.
You might ask him, and I wouldn't
I'm sure they have a phone jack. Is that all I need?
Yeah, if it's dial-up.
But it's a regular phone jack?
Yeah, you might ask them, though, and I think this wouldn't be surprising if they had wireless there as well, at least for the nurses and doctors. If they have wireless networking Wi-Fi, your laptop, this actually would be great. You'd probably hang out there more often because your laptop would work much better there. It'd be faster.
Yeah.
You'd be able to do all your internet there.
It used to be a hospice for patients passing away.
Right.
I'm sure they must have jacks in the room.
Yeah, I'm sure they have phone jacks, and you can always use that. But I would ask them if they have something called Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
That's wireless networking. Any laptop you buy would have that built in. Now, as far as what to get, you can buy an inexpensive laptop. They have around $400 or $500.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
Everyone kept giving me different ideas.
Well, you don't need much, to be honest. It's a simple, you know, what you want to do is fairly simple.
Yeah, and I don't even want to store on it.
Well, you have to.
I can't send it.
You can, but I mean, you can't buy something without a hard drive. So you're going to have...
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I didn't need it. I have a 20 gigabyte at home. I don't need anything like that.
You're going to have storage just because they don't sell it without it.
Oh, right, but I mean, it would be a small amount, so...
Well, I'll tell you what. The cheapest... I'm looking at Dell on the web. The cheapest Dell laptop is $500. It's actually got a fairly large hard drive.
Oh, okay.
In it. For that price, you get 40 gigabytes, so it's twice the size of your home hard drive.
Twice what I have at home.
But the point is, you have to have it for the operating system anyway. They're cheap now. They put them in. But I would look at the Inspiron B130. It's $500.
The what?
It's the B130. It's from Dell, DELL.com. I mean, you'll get something. You can get something.
Do you like Dell better than Gateway?
I do.
Okay.
I do. But you can also go to the store. They won't sell Dells, but they'll sell something comparable. Toshiba, or they'll sell a...
Toshiba's
fine. E-Machines. They'll still have comparable...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everyone kept telling me the E-Machines were junk.
Well, they're kind of cheap. Look, but you're not demanding.
No, I'm just going to be like an hour and a half a day.
Yeah. They're cheesy computers. Yes, I'll agree with whoever told you that. But
I don't care buying cheap.
Yeah,
I'm cheap.
They're cheap.
Okay.
I think if I think the truth is you'd get a $500 Dell, you'd get the best. That's a good deal.
So I should get a Dell then.
I would. If you can buy online, go ahead and get that.
Love buying online.
Everything
I'm not a
you
shopper.
Need. Good. Well, to do that then, and it comes with a wireless networking card. So if there is in the hospice, in the home now, if there is wireless networking, you're going to love it. You're not going to go online at home at all because it's so much faster where your husband is.
No kidding.
Yeah. You may find that this new computer, as inexpensive as it is, notice I didn't use the word cheap, as inexpensive as it is, may be faster, better, and more powerful than the one you have at home anyway.
Well, I bought the one I have now 2.5 years ago.
So things get cheaper and better all the time.
You know, when I bought this one at home, they wanted to put XP in it, but I knew 98 second edition. So that's what I got.
You'll get XP now. In fact, you may get Vista if you buy it. If you wait a little while, you'll get Vista. If not, you'll get a coupon for Vista probably. But XP is a lot more secure. You want
XP. Is that the one you've been telling everybody to wait for? Is that I listen to you every
day?
Yeah,
the next one is Vista, and it's going to be out in January. I don't know if you want to wait that long.
Well, for my home computer, I wanted to upgrade.
I'm not sure I would upgrade it. That'll open up a kettle of worms there.
Okay.
You don't want to get
with my 98 second edition at all.
I would just stay with that. Yeah, and you know what you're going to find though. I'll be honest with you. It's going to happen,
yeah.
Joyce. You're going to like the laptop so much. It's with you all the time. You're just going to end up using that all the time. Right? Why not?
You might be right.
Sure, you will. Why not? It's going to be faster. It's going to have a newer operating system.
Beautiful Amwa to put my computer in because it's got a big screen. I could find.
Well, it's true. Now, if your eyesight is poor, I mean, you know.
It's not that I'm aging. I'm 67.
Yeah.
It's starting to, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to read small print. Now, most of these you can make the print bigger.
That's what I wanted to find out, too. When I buy a Dell, they said I would have to buy software or something.
No. Well, it comes with everything you want. As far as the size of the text, that's easy.
Oh.
That's easy to fix. You just go into the, there's an appearance, there's a control panel that lets you change the appearance. And it's in the display properties control panel, and you can change the font size to extra large, and I would do that.
Oh, great. That's what I did at home.
Yeah, I do that too. And
that's
XP,
why I've got this great big monitor at home.
With big letters on it. No, I think you're right. And I think one other thing you might be able to do, in fact, I think you probably can, I'm looking at the specs for this one, is plug that big monitor into the laptop.
Oh, at home, yeah.
Yeah. So, in other words, I think for $500 you can get a computer that'll do just fine for you. I think Dell is a very good company.
I need a phone jack or Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. Okay.
Yeah, it's like hi-fi with a W.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
Enjoy, Joyce. I think you're going to be really happy. Yes.
If I buy it from a store, is that better to be able to like take it back when it breaks or something?
There is a value to that, absolutely. Now, Dell's you cannot get in the store. You can only get online. But you can if you want to spend a little extra money on it. They have mail-in service for that price. But if you want to spend a little extra money, you can get in-home service where they come to you.
No, I don't mind sending it in.
Mailing's easy. You just keep the box and you pack it up. You'll call them and they'll say, they'll begrudgingly say, okay. You know, first they'll say, well, do this, do that, do this. Oh, yeah, I guess you have to mail it to us. But you're not going to have any problems. You're not.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Joyce.
I listened to you on Saturdays and I understand about an eighth of what everyone's talking about.
Well, in about 2 weeks, you're going to understand a half. In about 6 weeks, you'll understand all of it. In about a year, you'll be teaching other seniors how to use these things.
Well, I'm on my seventh year. I think maybe I should have gotten a little bit more by now. But
no.
My son tells me that I'm wasting my computer.
That's fine.
He said I'm using like so little of it. It's a waste on me.
So what? That's normal. Do you like it? Are you enjoying it? You getting some value out of it?
I love it. I do genealogy. I do graphics. I help at the senior center with a lot of different programs. And I'm making all these graphics to give them.
You're a geek, Joyce.
Am I a geek?
Face
really?
It. You have become a geek. Congratulations.
I'm on it sometimes 2-3 hours a day.
Oh, there you go. You're like my mom. She's a little older than you, but the same thing. She loves it. She uses it for knitting patterns, for sewing patterns. She does email.
Oh, absolutely.
Genealogy.
I get all my patterns off of it. When it broke once, I did go a little berserk for 3 days till I got it back.
See, there you go.
I guess I am one of those computer geeks.
Don't listen to your son. You're using plenty of that computer. You're getting a lot out of it.
Well, I'm going to tell him you said so.
He told me I'm a geek, and I am.
Yeah, oh, thank
and he's
you.
Right.
I will tell him.
Thanks, Joyce.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Leo LaPointe, the tech guy, KFI. Say it loud, say it proud. I am a geek. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
What's hot this year? Morality. Dr. Laura, Monday, noon to 3.
KFI, AM 640.
126 on KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Leo LaPointe, the tech guy on KFI. David in the Redlands. Hello, David. Welcome to KFI.
Hello. I have a question about servers. I have a business, and it supports 5 workstations, mm-hmm. and I'm looking to replace my server. I've been told by some tech folks that instead of buying from Dell or Compaq or somebody like that, to have somebody else, like one of them, build this. Am I better off doing that, or am I better off buying it from Dell or Compaq?
Here's the only difference. I mean, I think you could probably get a very, very good system built, but who are you going to call when something goes wrong with it? And that's really,
exactly.
That's the difference, is when you do get it from Dell or HP, you have somebody to call, you have service and support. When you build it yourself, you can build an equally good machine. You might even be able to build it for less, although that's no guarantee. But who are you going to call?
Right, exactly. And that, I mean, they do come out for the support. Now, one of the things, and one other question along the lines of servers, BioStar, that motherboard, is it a good motherboard?
Yeah,
is it a
bad? It's fine. What you'll find, if you look at the Dell, manifest of what you're getting on that machine, or you look at a ProLiant and you say, what am I getting on that machine? You can duplicate that exact hardware. You could build a machine that's functionally identical to that. The only difference is service and support. And if you want a machine that's equivalent to the Dell, you can build it. Use the same. You can't use exactly the same motherboard because I think Dell, they're Intel motherboards. And I think Dell essentially does a deal with Intel, but you can get something with the same chipset, the same chip on it, same memory, same hard drives.
Okay.
Functionally, they're identical, and BioStar is fine. I mean, there are a lot of good motherboard manufacturers, but that's the issue.
Oh.
You're starting to decide on what motherboard to use, and do you know whether that chipset works well with that video card that you're thinking about? And then you get these issues, and then you're the guy who builds it for you, or you are responsible. And if something goes wrong, you know it's up to you to figure out what went wrong and fix it.
Right. Now, the reason I asked about BioStar is on Tiger Direct, they had a server that was actually about $1,000 cheaper than what Dell had, but it was pretty much the same thing. But this IT guy said that
I wouldn't
BioStar
go with
motherboard.
Yeah, I wouldn't go with Tiger Direct.
Okay.
They're a second. No, look, the server's important. Your business is running on this.
Okay.
Don't be a cheapskate.
I agree. I just trying to be frugal, but
there's frugal and there's frugal. If your business goes down for 5 days because you saved $1,000, you saved nothing.
Now, with somebody building this for you, if I have a professional IT guy build this for me, and I say, okay, well, what are the costs on this? What is typically the labor charge for somebody building a server? Is there
$75, $100 an hour. You know, I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is he going to be around to fix it and support it? And really, you're self-insuring is what you're doing. Leo LaPointe, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. 130, Lisa Osborne's in the KFI News Center.
Outrageously entertaining, Bill Handel, Monday morning, 5 to 9.
KFI, AM 640.
AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. I am Leo LaPointe, the tech guy on KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI is my phone number, 1-800-520-1534. We're going to keep recording. Oh, maybe not. Whoops, it looks like we are not going to keep recording today. I thought we were, and I'm just getting word that no one knows about that. My apologies. We will do it next week. How about that? Abby from Santa Clarita, KFI, Leo LaPointe, the tech guy. Hi, Abby.
Hi, Leo. Me and my friend have our own podcast.
You're kidding.
No.
What's it about? What's it called? Tell me all about it.
Well, you wouldn't like it. It's girl stuff. It's
my daughter might. I have a 14-year-old daughter. You think she'd like it?
She'd like it.
Yeah. You know what her name is?
What?
Abby.
Seriously?
Yeah. So I think she would like
cool.
it. Yeah.
Awesome. But I do the website for the show. I'm sort of a computer nerd.
Wow, that's great.
I do all my stuff in HTML.
Okay.
And I was wondering, you know, when you go to websites and they have those fancy animation things and stuff?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, I was wondering if you knew an easy way I could make some of those?
Yes.
Or do it?
Yes. Most of them are done. There's two ways you could do animation. Well, there's many ways, but there's two common ways you do animation on a website. For a simple little animation, you could use what's called an animated GIF. You know, the graphics interchange format, GIF, those GIF files. You can actually put multiple images in one GIF file, and the GIF will play them back as an animation. So,
oh, really?
So sometimes little animations that are just little buttons or something are just animated GIFs. And there are lots of animated GIF makers you can go out. And if you just do a Google for animated GIF, you'll see there's lots of free ways to do that. So that's good for, sometimes when you go to a message board and you'll see, or like on MySpace, somebody will have kind of a dancing avatar. That's an animated GIF. But if you want to have more elaborate animated graphics, I recommend something called Flash. That's how they do it. You've probably heard about Flash. Now, Flash is expensive and it's hard to use. There's an easier way to do Flash called Swish. And it's swishzone.com. And it's very inexpensive. Basically, it's kind of push button where you say, I want this effect. And it'll build it for you. So you don't have to learn a lot of high-end programming. Eventually, you're probably going to want to learn Flash as you get older. But right now, this is an easy way to do the Flash without having to become a programmer.
Okay.
And it's more affordable, too, because Flash is hundreds of bucks. Swish and swishzone.com. What's your site?
It's girltalktv.com.
What a great idea. Now, how'd you get the idea to do this?
It was actually my dad's idea because me and my friend Stephanie, we're both actresses, but nobody wants kids anymore.
Yeah,
it's all reality. So we were like, oh, we should do our own podcast.
And do you just talk together, or how do you do it?
We talk together. We do skits.
And it's
really good.
It's for other girls your age, basically.
Yeah. And it appeals, like, we have some 15, 16-year-old fans, and we have some 8, 9-year-old fans.
That is just adorable. Forgive me for saying this. Just adorable. I think this is great. Girl Talk TV. And, you know, your dad's right. This is a great way to kind of keep your name out there and maybe get some attention, you know? And
yeah, we got some attention from some manager guys.
Yeah.
But nothing has been happening. They're getting different funding and stuff for the show, but we're pretty excited about it.
I think that's really neat. And you're on iTunes.
Yes.
That's very important. And you have a MySpace page, I see. That's important also. Sounds like you're doing all the right things. And yeah, it's kind of fun to be a webmaster where you get to, I mean, that, you know, if the acting thing doesn't work out, you've got a lot of future doing web design. That's a great field to be in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can work out funny because, you know, my former co-host on TV, Amber MacArthur, she wanted to get into television as a kid. Her whole life she wanted to get into television. When she was your age, she did commercials and modeling. And when she got to be, you know, she went to school, she studied journalism. She got a job. She's Canadian with the CBC. She did it for 3 months. She said, this is boring. But she was smart and she started doing web design and she had a very good career as a web designer, usability expert. Consulted big companies. She never lost her interest in TV. She came along. We put her on the show. She was our web expert. Within a couple of months, she was the co-host on the show. She worked as co-host on the show for 2 years. Now she has her own TV show on a big network in Canada. And she's a TV star. So it's not a bad thing to know something else, you know? And sometimes you may find that your dreams come true even kind of in ways that you don't expect.
That's cool.
So have fun with your podcast, girltalktv.com. And I'm going to show Ab and Steph's webpage.
Thank you, Leo.
All right, Abby, good luck. And swishzone.com is a great way for kids to start getting into Flash programming. Flash is really kind of the multimedia programming of choice. If you go to my Twit website, which is my podcast network, twit.tv. In the upper left-hand corner, there is a flash animation. And, you know, if you see banner pages, sometimes banner ads are flash, and sometimes they're animated GIFs. Or GIFs. I keep saying GIF, and it's supposedly it's GIF. G-I-F. But it's good to know both. Their skills, you'll use both skills. But I think ultimately Flash has the best future. Derek, Los Angeles, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Leo. It's tough to follow up these calls with the senior doing the graphics and the...
Isn't that amazing? Wow. You know what I love about...
My question is like, okay, well, let's just throw it out there.
Yeah, go ahead.
I burned a CD, two different sessions. The first session was on a PC, and the second session was on the Mac, and now the first session is gone.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, I know it's still on the CD, obviously.
That's right.
But I don't know how to get to it.
Multi-session CD recording.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky.
Yeah.
It's tricky. And it's probably the case that you haven't closed that CD yet.
Okay.
So once you finalize that CD, both sessions probably will be visible.
Okay, I hope so.
Right now, can you see it on the Mac, but not on the PC, or you can't see it?
No,
on
I see I see the second session only.
You can't see the first session at all?
No, and the second session is like 5 megs, but you can tell that the CD is almost full.
Oh, yeah, the stuff is still there. You didn't erase it. It's just a multi-session CD. And
I know how to finalize it, so I can burn a little teeny tiny file and close it. You know, close
yeah,
the disk,
what
so
finalizing it does is it makes a table of contents, and it turns it into a standard ISO 9660
okay.
disk. You may not have a multi-read. The one other issue is you might not have a multi-read CD player, and of course you need a multi-read CD player. Almost all the new ones are.
Yeah,
I mean, anything in the last
Mac
5
Mini.
Years should be multi. Oh, it's a Mac Mini.
Yeah,
that's multi. That's got to be multi-read. I mean, I don't think.
Yeah, the PC that I was looking at that we have at work was probably purchased within the last 6 months.
Yeah, no, all the new ones are. This really have to be pretty old not to be able to.
No. Yeah, that solution of closing the disk is probably what it is.
I just think
to do that.
I think that's it. I mean, it could be an older CD-ROM that can only see the first session, but if it's a standard multi, and any modern one is going to be able to see it.
Is there any other utility that might be able to get to that if it isn't an issue of closing the disk?
Yeah, probably if you had a multi-session driver, you'd be able to see it. I think the real key is finalizing it.
Okay.
Is this the only copy of the data? That's the only thing I'm worried about is you might finalize it and then...
Oh, no. These are the first session is WAV files and the second session
all right.
is Flash
so
files. So nothing critical.
You just want it to work.
Yeah,
try finalizing it. I think that'll work.
Cool.
And I'm going to look into this. It's been a long time. I haven't heard about multi-session CDs in probably 5 years. CD blanks are so cheap now. People just fill them up or not. Yeah. And they don't really
care. I just grabbed the CD and I said that.
You weren't thinking about it and just said no.
Last minute things to put the other thing on there.
Try finalizing it.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right.
Thanks
for the call.
Very much.
You see, you did very well. I know you're not 67 or 13, but you did very well. Right in the middle there. One of the things I love about this business is there's no demographic. There's no one group of people. It's everybody. You know, you can be a geek at 13. You could be a geek at 90. And the only common interest we all share is this interest in technology. It's fun. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 148.
I didn't have a pause in there.
Here, I'll do
you
this
tip
spot.
Your waiters,
after,
you
after
tip the valet. So why not tip your favorite radio station? Call the KFI News tip line. It's always open at 323-CALL-KFI.
154 on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Folks, if you've got e-waste, and I know you do, because you've got old TVs, don't you? Old computers, old cell phones. You can't throw them out. You know, even household hazardous waste like paint and motor oil, even alkaline batteries, you can't throw them out. You're not supposed to put them in the recycling either. Improper disposal of these products poses an actual health threat. So here's what you do. You bring your e-waste and your other household hazardous waste products to a free countywide household hazardous and electronic waste collection event sponsored by the County of Los Angeles Department of Public Works and the County Sanitation District. There's one going on right now till 3 o'clock. Actually, two. One in Long Beach and one in Duarte. Till 3 this afternoon. It's so easy. You just throw it in the back. You pull up. You don't even have to get out of your car. They'll take it from you. For more information, 888-CLEAN-LA.com. That's the website. Or call 888-CLEAN-LA. I just conferred with my good friends at the studio, and we are going to be able to do continue to take calls through 4. So that's good news. I will keep taking calls till 4 this afternoon. We're taping ahead for, I'm going on another geek cruise, Mac Mania 5, in a couple of weeks. So 1-800-520-1KFI. If you're on the line, stay on the line. I will get to you. And if you still have a question or a comment or suggestion, keep calling. We will take calls through 4 this afternoon. Ted in Monrovia. Welcome to KFI.
Whoa, hi, Leo.
Hey, Ted.
How's it going?
I'm going good.
Hey, first of all, I have recently purchased a Mac PowerBook.
Okay.
But the question's not about that. I love the PowerBook. I'm trying to get away from Microsoft.
Yes.
What I'm doing now for the desktop is I'm trying different versions of Linux.
Oh, how fun.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. There's a lot of them out there.
There sure are.
Do you have anything that you might recommend?
Well, they're all different flavors. There's really more in common than there is difference. What I do recommend is live CD distros. That way you don't have to install them to try them. You just boot up the CD and you can try it out and see if you like it. It also gives you the advantage of seeing if it works and all the stuff that you want to have work works.
Yeah, I found one that I really like, but I'm still trying.
What's the one you like?
The PC Linux OS.
Oh, I haven't tried that one.
It has where you can configure your hardware. It picked up my sound card with no problem. I have the Odyssey Creative Labs. It picked up my TV card with no problem and configured it.
That's cool.
And I had no problems with it. Now I'm playing with Solaris.
Solaris is not a Linux, it's a Unix, but that's worth trying. Also, I recommend Ubuntu, SUSE. Ubuntu is based on Debian, which I think is really...
I tried Ubuntu, that was the first one I tried.
Yeah, it's a very clean one. They're all different, but there's not one better than the other. Mandriva is good for multimedia. There's a new Mandriva just came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's a good one.
I'll have to try.
Yeah, Linspire is good for newbies. A lot of people like Linspire because it's so easy.
Yeah. Well,
the reason I like Ubuntu is because it's based on Debian, which is really the most rock solid of the, I think, of the Linux distros. So, but, there's not that much difference, is there, really?
No, but it's a lot of fun playing with them.
It is. It's like having new operating systems every 5 minutes. They're all free. Linux-iso.org is a good place to go. Is there a dash? Maybe not. LinuxISO.org has them all. And you can see what's popular. You can see reviews. Hey, I want to correct myself on the multi-session reader, by the way. I think even finalizing won't help. You probably need... if you didn't import the previous session when you burned the second session, you're going to need some software like Nero's Volume Mounter, Adaptex, or the Roxio Session Selector, something like that will let you select the session. So the disk software will let you select the session if you have a multi-session disk. So I want to correct myself on that one. Hey, we're out of time. Dr. Dean's coming up next on the radio, followed by a fresh John and Kenneth 3. But I will continue to take your calls through 4, 1-800-520-1KFI. And I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about the new licensing requirements in Windows Vista and why that may keep a lot of people from buying Vista. Microsoft really on the aggressive, and I think mistakenly so. We'll talk about it tomorrow, 11 to 2. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy, on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 1:59. Lisa Osborne's in the KFI News Center. Well, that's it for this edition of the Tech Guy on KFI. Thanks so much for listening. If you're ever in the Southern California area, I hope you'll listen live on the radio every Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on KFI AM 640. You can also listen on the internet anytime at KFIAM640.com. Archives of older shows are available online on my website. That's leo.am. Click the audio archives button. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast, which is leo.am/podcasts/KFI. My thanks to Howard Bailey for providing the theme music for this show. You can listen to Howard's music at soundclick.com. Thanks to DSL Extreme for providing the bandwidth. Of course, first of all, thanks to you for listening. I'll see you next time on KFI.